This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
First and goal from the one. Prescott fade, right, gallop, leaping, caught it, touchdown.
Oh, what a catch. What a catch by Michael Gallup.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the 1-2 possession. That is a phenomenal catch by Gallup for the Miller Lite first touchdown of the game.
Tell you what, the sideline catches, coordination, and athleticism yesterday from the Cowboys on offense and defense were awesome. It's star up, star down here on Sean and RJ after a 27-17 road win here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. As Peyton Russell in for Troy said, it is brought to you by New Brakes. New Brakes, mobile brake repair, 877-881-1053. Hit us up, star down. Now let's just start with the beginning. Well, I'm going to save it.
Uh-oh.
The very, very beginning is a star down because it was another slow start. But star up to Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup. They finally got it going on the third series. Amari, the plan was for him, according to Mike McCarthy talking to the broadcasters, Amari was going to be in on third downs and red zone. That's kind of what you talked about with the COVID conditioning that hurt Cam Newton last year, respiratory. He was still dealing with a cough. So Amari was in, had the 40, this is the same drive, 41-yard gain. Then CeeDee Lamb, the 33-yard gain where he crosses up Malcolm Jenkins. That's probably the internet moment of the night. Gallup almost topped it with his catch, which was spectacular in the corner of the end zone. But CeeDee Lamb going Allen Iverson with the crossover. Our boy Will on Twitter had the step over, had Malcolm Jenkins be Ty Lue with CeeDee Lamb being Allen Iverson. But you finally got your three receivers back together again, RJ, only the fourth time this season that has happened. So star up to the three wideouts being back together, and it ended with Gallup in the corner. That was a sweet, sweet highlight reel catch.
It was a very good catch, yeah. And, you know.
And he had another sideline catch before the half. That was very impressive.
Yes, he did. You know,
I acknowledge Tolos. Cedric Wilson can't do that. I never said Cedric Wilson was better than Michael Gallup. I'm just trying to weigh down the road, not going to get into it now, the cost difference and what it's worth versus investing that money somewhere else. But yes, Michael Gallup is better than Cedric Wilson because Cedric can't do, he can't pull off those two plays or at least that one for the touchdown. Sorry.
Yeah, and look, that's fair to do. You've got to do that. You need to know all your players on whether or not the value is there for them. Gallup is a very good player. Like, you could tell a talent difference between him and Cedric, but we always knew that. You know, having all the receivers, you know, Cooper, that 49-yard, you know, play, whatever, I was like, okay, how many plays is he going to be out now? Like, how many plays is he going to have to sit out from this one? But, yeah, having all three receivers on the field together, like, that is huge because this team has such a built-in advantage that so many teams around the National Football League just don't have. You know, they just don't have those same built-in advantages, and that's why it's a huge star up. You know, I don't. I'm looking around at my thing. I don't think I have a star up for an individual player.
You don't.
I have some units stars up or some plays stars up, but like, you know, I think People are going to give Tony Pollard a star up today. Tony Pollard, if you take away that one play, was 6 carries for 13 yards. That's not a star up. I don't just look at one play out of 65 and say, oh, man, what a game he had. He made a play. No, like, what'd you do on the other 59 plays? The other 50, and that, you know, the other 59 plays are more important than that one play. So, you know, and I don't really have any, I mean, I have a couple star downs.
No star up for your boy?
Who, Micah?
Yeah.
No, because the star down's for his usage.
Well, you can maybe go both sides.
Yeah, I can do both sides. I can do both sides. When Micah was a defensive end, star up. When he was a linebacker, ignored, forgotten, disappeared. Not interested in him going side to side and tackling somebody from behind. If I wanted somebody to tackle somebody from the back, I would just keep Jalen Smith.
I have a big fat star up because to me, the biggest play of the game offensively was obviously Pollard, but the play defensively that I do not want to get lost, and this may have saved the game, came right before the end of the first half.
Second and 10, Hill straight drop, sets, he's got all day. Going deep, left side, and the ball is, it might have been picked, was tipped, and it was intercepted by the Cowboys down at the 9-yard line, and J'Ron Curse comes away with the ball.
That was huge. So it's a 10-7 game. The Saints are down 3. They're driving right before the end of the first half, and J'Ron Curse somehow maintains possession, gets the feet down on the 5-yard line. The Saints are right there inside the red zone, and J'Ron Curse catches this thing on the sideline. I wasn't in right after the Raider game, but who was the defensive player who – was it Neal who had the toss back
yes.
into the field?
Yeah.
So I want to give credit. Those are two special plays. What Neal did was like – one of the plays of the season, that was going back 2 weeks ago, but J'Ron Curse, I thought once I saw him get the feet down, I thought with the Cowboys' luck, they were going to overrule it and say that the ball had touched the ground or he was, you know, not having his hands under it. But that was huge, RJ, because that allowed them not only to not trail, but then they go down the field and kick the field goal to go up 13-7 at the half. So I want to give J'Ron Curse the defensive play of the game right there with a star up. I thought that was big time.
Autoflex, you see Fantex, Micah forced the Curse interception. Look, they were opportunistic on defense again. That's what we saw from the beginning of them, beginning of the season from them. It was very, very good to see the opportunism they had. This is very reminiscent of the Saints in 09, of the Packers in 2010. Of San Fran a couple years ago. Opportunistic defenses go on these runs, and you can't really make them. You know, you've got to be able to. You can't really force them a lot of times. You've got to be able to take advantage of them. One star up.
Let me keep it on Micah for a second because I definitely wrote him down for a star up. There was a big play in this game that took points off the board. I thought for New Orleans, and it happened like this.
And Hill with play action will roll to the right and watch the throw and is sacked by Parsons. Sean, that was dumb. He's supposed to run.
Wow.
Parsons was spying him all the way, babe. And when Hill rolled out to the right, Parsons just went into overdrive. And he's a double-digit sacks, a 13-yard loss.
So this was at the start of the fourth quarter. It was 3rd and 2, right? Taysom Hill's running down your throat. It's 3rd and 2. And bam, there is Micah Parsons, 13-yard loss, knocks them out of field goal range, his 5th straight game with a sack, and the first rookie since Joey Bosa in 2016 to do that. Micah, after the game, he got the NFL Network interview with the, well, no, it was CeeDee Lamb sitting down with Michael Irvin, and I think Micah got the first on-field
he did.
One.
Yeah, Micah had the on-field one.
And then Micah was asked, in the post, your performance this year, has it exceeded your expectations?
I mean, I don't think I did too much right now. I mean, there's still stuff out there to get that's on the plate and got to get done. And right now, only half the job is done. Yeah, I mean, you got to complete the whole mission. So nothing's really done yet. I mean, besides a couple minor personal goals, I'm worried about the bigger stuff.
So now every game, you're just getting the accolades and different records is probably too strong, but different accomplishments for Parsons. First player with 70 tackles and 10 sacks through his team's first 12 games since James Harrison in 2010, on pace for over 100 tackles and 14 sacks this year. The last player to do that, Bruce Smith, in 1993, coming off his defensive player of the month from the NFL. 10 sacks on the year, 13th rookie linebacker in history with 10 sacks in his rookie season.
Here's one that I think we need to keep an eye on the Autoflex fan text. They played Tank inside, preparing for a future of Gregory and Micah on the edge and Tank on the interior. And that is music to my ears. Music to my ears.
Well, they've had, I keep saying, interior defensive line a problem. We saw it again last night. I mean, star down. The one thing you knew, it's almost like these teams sometimes want to elevate Belichick and make him look greater every single week. It's almost like some of these teams with their mind-numbingly dumb game plans want to make Belichick look better. And look, I know you can't stop it every single play, but Taysom Hill running around like that was maddening. That was driving me insane. They did a nice job of limiting him early on. In the first half, 2 carries, 2 runs, 12 yards. In the third quarter, he had 7 carries for 75 yards. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? That's a high school game. That's what happens in high school. Get the best athlete, get the best player, put him in shotgun, have him take the handoff, and run all over your helpless defense. And it took me back. I was like, who bet on the over-unders yesterday that we gave? The over-unders from Bet Online. Over-under, we knew with the rushing yards it was going to be easy, right? The over-under was 39.5. He had 101.
From Taysom.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
The over-under passing was 225.5. We would have lost that. We both said the under. He ended up with 264. Will he score a rushing touchdown? I said, yes, he would. No, he did not. So it would have been 1-for-3 with the prop bets. But, man, there's a point in that game where he felt unstoppable hurdling KZ and everyone else out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, he...
And his speed on one of the runs, like, fast, Micah, dude, looked like he was... I'm like, all right, you're about to get caught. And Taysom, like, pulled away. And I was like, oh!
That boy, yeah, he's fast. He is a fast kid. There is no doubt about that. He is speedy. You know, if the Cowboys faced a better quarterback last night, they probably don't win that game. Then again, how much did his legs keep them in the game? Quite a bit, I would think.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe if they had a better passer, but a guy who didn't run, that the Cowboys would have been able to take advantage. You know, Taysom Hill allowed them the interceptions the Cowboys got. You know, he allowed them to, or didn't allow them to, kind of stay back on their, you know, at the sticks and wait on picks because of the running. They had to account for his ability to move. So, you know, if it was a drop back passer, they may have had 6 interceptions last night.
877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fantex, 877-881-1053. Do have to give a star up to CeeDee Lamb. I want to hear if Brad Sham caught the Iverson move with CeeDee and what he did to Malcolm Jenkins.
Prescott under center. Hook screen left to Lamb. Made a man miss. 30, 20, foot race. 10, 5. Pushing the defender near the goal line. Down at the 1.
Yeah, he got it in there. 7-for-89 as CeeDee Lamb leads the way. He was trying to run guys over. He was elusive. 7-for-89. And after the game, he was asked, what has this team been missing over the past few weeks?
Not really playing our game. Physical, you know, just being the dog in the game, you know what I'm saying? And I feel like tonight, obviously everything ain't go our way, but we capitalized when we needed to. And the defense definitely did a great job tonight.
You know, when that screen pass that he had, that long run or that long catch and run, I love that play. That play, if you get by that first defender on the screen, I think it's dang near unstoppable. You're getting like a minimum 7 yards, like, on that one play. I've always loved that play. And I just don't think teams do it enough. Certainly not this team. Don't do it enough. That is such a good play.
Star up to the Saints for 4 drops. thank y'all for that. That one throw Taysom Hill missed towards the Cowboys' goal line was big. And thank you to the referee for that blocking call. Man, Sean Payton, you normally don't see coaches continue for like three or four series after, but every time the TV broadcast went back, Sean Payton was lighting up the refs for calling that block on the Saints when it was absolutely clean and a terrible call. Right after Buck and Aikman all night long were praising the officials for like getting the feet correct on the sideline catches and everything else. Ooh, that was nice to get.
I mean, they still missed one. They still missed the on the interception Dak had. I mean, that was a hands to the face. You know, you can't touch the quarterback's helmet. They missed that one. So they still miss. But, you know, you saw that one play on the sideline where the ref's grabbing for his flag. And Buck is like, that way, that's just habit for him. I got every play. It's an incompletion. Let me just grab a flag here.
All right, can I get to my star downs? You ready to unload on these?
Yeah, sure.
I know you're getting ready to go down your list. Zeke Elliott, offensive line, and my biggest star down for Kellen freaking Moore. 877-881-1053. It's star up, star down, brought to you by New Breaks, next on Sean and RJ.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Snap is back. Four-man rush. A lot of time. Throws it deep middle. Intercepted at the 40-yard line. Lattimore coming left to the 50. Lattimore is finally taken down at the 46-yard line by C.D. Lamb.
Dak and the Cowboys offense tried to keep New Orleans in it. They still get the win, 27-17. They're 8-4. It's a frustrating Friday, at least for me, here on Sean and RJ at 877-881-1053. I started off the show admitting I was going to break some victory post-game rules, and they're normally just being an overall good mood. Being a good mood the day after, and then we can kind of pick it apart. We got an entire week to pick it apart. But we don't have an entire week this time, so I'm going to be a little bit more frustrated. Don't style point road wins. That's a usual rule that we have on the show. I'm breaking that one. Don't sit there and take issues with double-digit wins. And I'm going to go ahead and violate that as well. Does Dak Prescott get a star down?
Oh, my gosh.
26 of 40. For 230, it was kind of the opposite of the Raider game, I feel like. He was okay in this one throughout, and then at the end, awful, where in the Raider game, he was like, throughout and turned it on late. But his QBR was a 38.3. He had an interception. It could have been too late. I guess it has to be a star down. He had 6 yards of Taysom Hill threw for more yards per completion, RJ, than Dak Prescott. He threw for more yards. If you would have told me Taysom Hill had more yards and averaged more yards per pass, I would have been like, no way. And threw for more touchdowns. That's what Taysom Hill did compared to Dak. So, yeah, I guess we got to go star down.
Autoflex using Fantext. Dak is the only real star down. Autoflex using Fantext. Dak is not checking into things properly. Another one. I am not a Dak believer. I'm down on Dak. He is not clutch. He is a one-year wonder.
Who?
Dak not making good choices pre or post snap. Look, he was not very good, man. He was just not. He was missing some throws. When he was, you know, I know the interception he got hit in the head, and it should have been called. So just, you know, all right, take that one away. But beyond that, he still wasn't that good. He still was not. I don't know what happened on that CeeDee Lamb play early on in the game.
Which one?
On the fourth down. which I had no problem with them going for.
Me neither. Well, Aikman explained, I think he was right.
Was I think
like,
so, too.
It was kind of like an option route where CD could have gone inside based upon the way the coverage was playing him, and it looked like there was an opening to the inside, and Dak threw it there, but CD did not turn.
And I love that they – and I don't usually give Aikman a lot of credit, but I love that he brought that up because, to me, that play perfectly encapsulates why – I don't like the interception stat because the quarterback expected him to see the coverage the way he saw it, and he threw it to that coverage. They don't in the NFL, they don't wait till you're open before they throw it. They throw it before you make your break. And let's say there was a guy there, a defender there, and Dak expected CD to see the coverage and make that cut, and he threw it there, and CD didn't, and the guy picked it off. Well, that's an interception on Dak. When in reality, it should be on CeeDee Lamb.
Dak explained what happened afterwards on that play.
Yeah, we've got to be better on that. Miscommunication, we've got to be better as a whole, as an offense, and in critical down.
Oh, okay, well, he didn't explain it.
No,
really. So there just felt like there was multiple, even though CeeDee Lamb was your leading receiver, it felt like multiple miscommunications. But Dak just playing dumb towards the end there. Just win it ugly. Win it ugly. You throw an interception in the middle of the field, and then you almost have another one to the right side of the field. This team can't score. If they do score, they're going to chew up clock because Taysom Hill has to run the ball, but it's in the fourth quarter. I don't know if he's not seeing things. I don't know if he's not processing it fast enough. I'm going to go back to what I said last week. I would like to see him, RJ, two or three times a game, drop back, if the pressure's there, have it in his mind immediately, I'm going to run. I'm gonna rip off a 6 or 7 yard run because right now I think he's going into these games, and this is probably a Jerry semi-mandate saying, no matter what, do not take off. Like, I think teams right now know, and Dak is thinking, he is strictly only a pocket passer, but there are times when – if your offensive line isn't holding up, and this offensive line doesn't look good right now, they definitely do not look good, and teams are going to pressure you, you sit there and find your gap and run 2 or 3 times a game for that 6-7 yard gain to keep them honest. And I don't think that's in his head right now to do. I don't think
it's not. He's become just a pocket guy. And, you know,
like they get him out on the run a little bit. They get him out on a roll, that CeeDee Lamb fourth down play. He was moving, and then he threw opposite of his body. But I'd like to see him say, you know what, have a QB draw twice a game. When's the last time we've seen a design Dak QB draw? And I know he's been banged up and everything, but I think we're getting to a point now where he is healthy. And you got to do it to keep the defense honest.
He might, yeah. I think he's healthy. I mean, there's something that's happened to him since the calf injury. Something's gone on. Like, he is not the same guy he was early on in the year. And like I said, I'm taking that one interception where he was hit in the face. I'm removing that. Like, you know, that should have been a penalty. But for the rest of the game, he was just off. He wasn't reading the defense as right. He wasn't moving in the pocket well, nothing.
Just a side note on that pick, I still blame him because I think he had the ball long enough to
move
where,
in the pocket, yeah.
Or go, just take a sack, incomplete, just don't throw it up in the middle of the field. Like, the only thing you can't do there is turn it over.
Well, it was third down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you probably don't want to take a sack there. You're trying to at least throw it away, but you can't turn it over. You can't turn it over either.
877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fantech. Star up, star down, Dak Prescott. Not getting a lot of favoritism on the Fantech or on Twitter, but my biggest star down, and I've been waiting. I've been waiting since 11 o'clock. Actually, no. I've been waiting since 9 o'clock because that's how pissed off I was with the boy genius, the whiz kid, throughout this entire game.
Don't run on 2nd and 10.
They're going to run now. You jinxed them.
Prescott's going to toss the play wide to Pollard. Broke a tackle. Got a block on the edge. Sprinting to the 50. Pollard down the left sideline. One man to beat, and he'll beat him. All the way to the pylon. Touchdown, Pollard. Calling a run was the most brilliant move of the night.
I love that call, and there's so much in there. Even Brad Sham was frustrated with the Cowboys running on 2nd and 10. And not only just running on 2nd and 10 to set you up for 3rd and longs in this game. Remember what Peyton Manning said? We're not even trying to get to 3rd down.
No.
We view 2nd down as 3rd down. You want to pick up the first down early and definitely don't put yourself in 3rd and longs. Running on 2nd and 10 and running the same halfback draw over and over and over and over with Zeke Elliott on 2nd and 10. And I was just monitoring and I was waiting and David Hellman started going off on it and Kavanaugh started going off on it. Hellman said the run game just looks so static. It's almost like it's run up the A gap every time. No misdirection, no motion,
none,
no counter, no off tackle. And Jeff said the Cowboys have gone back to being a 2nd and 10 run team, which is the worst play call in football.
Yep.
Cowboys run game is terrible. You either got to do some jet sweep action, something outside, or just stop trying to run. And then finally, like when we were reaching that boiling point, when it was about to go totally over the pot and start a fire in the house, they finally go outside to Tony Pollard. And then in one of the time-killing drives at the end, first down, run. Oh, Zeke's best run of the night was outside. It was coming. It was right to left on your radio dial.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Pollard on first down picked up 5 yards, going to the outside. Then the boy genius decides to throw it 2 straight plays after that. And you saw, they went to him on the sideline. He looked like he was nauseous, Kellen Moore. He looked like he was absolutely sick to his stomach. And Dave Hellman came out with a stat on running inside versus outside. They had 13 rushes on the night. This was at this point. 13 rushes on the night. 11 of them between the tackles, 20 yards. 2 of them, a bubble screen and a toss sweep, have accounted for 91. Now, obviously, the Pollard one was, you know, that was one rip-off that you get. You know, you rip off one.
Yeah.
But if you score a 50-yard touchdown on it, why wouldn't you try it, I don't know, like 3 times after? 4 times after? Blogging the Boys has done a great job, and I give them grief, some of them, because they are homers. But they've been on Kellen Moore's ass for the past few weeks. And last night, I saw why. Big fat star down to the boy genius whiz kid that we all and everyone anointed in October.
Yeah, I could see that, too. I will say this on that Pollard run. I wouldn't have called that play ever again. He was stopped for a 6-yard loss. Right? That was all him to get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have
I wouldn't have called that play again. That play got blowed up.
Well, if you have a guy with that type of juice and speed, there is no rational explanation. I don't give a crap if Tom Landry rises from the ground and calls into the show right now to continue to hammer Zeke Elliott and have him on the field to this degree is coaching malpractice. It's ridiculous. It's stupidity. It is so dumb not to just give Tony Pollard 5 more. I'm not asking him to carry it 28 times. What are you doing? You have a guy who's a home run threat. You have another guy who's not healthy. And it's like they want to win some freaking tough guy award for Zeke out there. You're throwing him slants late in the game when you know he's banged up and he's limping to the sideline. What are we doing here? We're trying to win courage awards and courage points. Why is Zeke Elliott in. Why you continue to run the same exact play, nothing to the outside, but a few times a game, it's maddening. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with Zeke. I really don't get it. I don't understand.
They think he's healthy enough. You know, and outside of that one Pollard, like, you know, I guess the question is, like, do you want the home run threat who, you know, last night, again, Tony Pollard was not very good outside of that one.
He had seven carries, RJ. I know. Stop saying that. He had seven touches. He had no opportunities. He had no opportunities. Seven carries.
I know.
And one of them went for 58.
Right, but forget the one.
Why would I forget the one? It shows that the guy has ability that Zeke Elliott doesn't possess.
No, Zeke does not possess that.
You want game breakers on the field, right? That's why they throw these screens.
See, you know what? I want a guy I know, and now Zeke isn't that guy anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Right? But I would much rather have the guy that I know is getting 4.5 every time than the guy who gets 1, 2, 1, 50.
He's not getting 4.5 every time.
No, I know. I'm so saying he's not. But, you know, he was better than Pollard was last night outside of that one run. And that one run, if they ran that play again, it's getting stopped. Like, he made a great play to get out of trouble. He was stopped behind the line of scrimmage.
He averaged
and he went through about 5.5 guys.
I don't know why you're on this defensive Zeke. Are you?
I'm not defending Zeke.
He's averaging 3.5 a carry. He's got no explosiveness.
I'm not defending Zeke.
First five games, 85 carries, 5.3 yard per average, 5 touchdowns. This is from Bobby Bell. 5.3 for 452 yards. First five games. Last seven games, 88 carries, 3.6 yards per average. Like, all I'm asking for is
five to six more
touches. I understand Zeke's in there for blocking. I understand the dirty yards. I've given him credit for that. But good Lord, if you're in a game and one of your give me a bench player for the Rangers.
You'd have to be able to name one.
That's right. If one of your bench players in their first two at-bats goes 2-for-2 with a three-run homer and a double, and you pinch hit him out of the game and take him out of the game, to me that's a stupid decision. So if I saw that someone has hit a home run for me and I'm going to totally go away from that and not even see if he can hit another home run or get, I don't know, 11 yards, 12 yards, and I don't even go back to that well. That to me is ignorant.
Look, I've always been on the Tony Pollard bandwagon. Always been on the Tony Pollard bandwagon. All I'm saying is last night, if we just remove that one play, he was 6 carries for 13 yards. That ain't good. Neither one of them are any good. The offensive line is a joke. It stinks. It's not giving anybody any movement, any room to run. And Zeke should not be out there because of health. Like, Zeke's hurt. You see him jogging off the field.
Yeah.
He looks like he's got, like, a splint on his leg. I mean, he's running straight leg, for crying out loud.
Jerry Jones pregame. Dan Quinn afterwards in the locker room. And why was Dan Quinn's hat trending on social media? A Cowboys Friday continues with Sean and RJ right here on The Fam.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there
there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Still alive, the Saints. 6:35 in the clock, running first down at the Dallas 32. Play fake by Hill, back to throw. Deep to the right, underthrown, intercepted at the 20-yard line. That one was picked off by Damati KZ, his first since opening night.
Man, Sham doesn't sound too excited in some of these calls. We'll have to ask him at 7:20. Was it a frustrating win as they get the W to improve to 8-4? The Cowboys win 27-17 on the road in New Orleans against the Saints, who were dealing with Taysom Hill and a bunch of different backups. 17 interceptions for this team, second most in the NFL. Second most was 17 interceptions. It was crazy. Let's hear how crazy it got in the postgame celebration. You know these players love Dan Quinn. Let's hear what it sounded like from DallasCowboys.com after the W.
See, there ain't no feeling like people having your back. Right? That's exactly who we are, man. It was exactly what Mike set out for us to do. Complimentary ball, getting the ball, owning it. My God! Sacking from this moment forward, let's go. Family on three. One, two, three, family!
All right, so that sounded like Dak at the end. And Dan Quinn in the beginning as Mike McCarthy was watching in the hotel room. I was wondering this to myself. McCarthy watching the game with broadcasters, does it give any type of different perspective? Like, Troy was mocking them and going at Kellen Moore late. Troy was saying a lot of truth late. Truth that, you know, like Romo doesn't normally say. He's not going to be that harsh. He'll say it in a lot nicer way. But Troy was talking about them not running out the clock and also how, yeah, you got the win, but it really wasn't that impressive. So I wonder if McCarthy was like listening or rethinking about game management situations during that series, or I don't know, six of them when they had six straight three and outs. That's part of the reasons I hate. Here's Big Tough Guy on Twitter. Let me go ahead and get his name.
I love Big Tough Guy.
Big Tex.
Big Tex, man.
Of course, with no picture in his little profile, saying keep this same energy for Jerry or McCarthy. We can't with McCarthy. That's part of the reason, full transparency, it's good to have the head coach of the Cowboys on your station, on your show, but I hate not having him the day after because we'll get him a week after. It'll be next Friday, and you can't go back to this game. So it's frustrating. And then Jerry will be on with KMC. Jerry will answer all these questions today, as he always does, at 10:30.
Yeah, I mean, now Jerry would be 5 days after the game's over for
us. Yeah, but these idiots like this guy. Oh, you go, make sure you cuss out Mike. Make sure you sit there and you go. I don't know many people after 10 years who get on us for not asking the tough or necessary questions in the respectable way you need to.
They're generally people that live in Philadelphia that are Cowboy fans that listen. Just, you know, want
guess what? Guess what, Tex? If you saw Mike McCarthy on the street or grabbing a cup of coffee in line, you wouldn't say nothing, nada. You'd ask him, where's the Splenda? That's what you would say. So stop acting all tough on social media. We ask him the questions. Mike doesn't want to answer any of them a lot of times. Jerry will in a very nice, charming way.
Yeah. And, you know, and about, you know, watching the game broadcast, I think they do anyway. So.
No way. Afterwards? I think they definitely watch the game tape.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know,
they're not watching Buck and Aikman's call. Well, they probably hear about it through friends. Tell
they
me
might.
Why you think so.
They might. Now, when I was doing the Legends game, Sean, they would always come up to us after, like, you know, the next day and say that we said something on the radio on the broadcast.
Who?
The players. And I said, so, hey, question, wait, where'd you hear about this? Do you have like a Twitter tattletale or something like that? And he goes, no, they pipe in on our game tape. They pipe in the broadcast feed, the sound. Hmm. And I wonder if they do that these other sports. They might. Who knows?
No
these
way.
Players know. These players know who and what is said about them real quick. And you know, I wonder if they do that. Be interesting to see. I mean, if I was a coach, I'm 1,000% watching the game broadcast and
why?
Listening. It's another eye. It's another perspective. It's another perspective on what you're doing in the moment, right or wrong, whether or not that person feels the analyst. Another quote-unquote expert.
Yeah.
And what their take is on your play.
We got to ask McCarthy that next Friday.
Next Friday.
When he joins us. So it's a star up, star down brought to you by New Breaks. Cowboys Friday as they get the W on DFW Sports Station. So Twitter kind of blew up before the game when Christy Scales got Jerry Jones on. Troy sends us this. Bobby Belt sends us this. Then there's video of the Cowboys bus. It looks to be on Bourbon Street. And there's like 25 people going crazy saying what's up to Jerry and his family. And there's some people wondering if Jerry was what he was doing on Bourbon Street when he had part of this pregame interview on the Cowboys station with Christy Scales.
Sean just kept coming. Into the draft room. Parcells was sitting up there.
No. Cut this off. My bad. That's my bad, Peyton. 27, then we'll play 26. So this is Jerry's thoughts on being back in New Orleans and Bourbon Street. Then we'll play the other one.
Anytime you see me, there's only 80% of me that you see. Over the last 50 years, 20% of me has been left on Bourbon Street and New Orleans. It's some kind of place. And boy, there are Cowboy fans here.
Yeah, you know, the beginning of that may be questionable, but I think he was kind of normal towards the end. So that was Jerry with everyone saying, you got to listen to Jerry. He's been partying on Bourbon Street before the game. And then I guess when they're on the field, Sean Payton stops by.
Mm-hmm.
He stops by live in the pregame interview to go over the battle of getting Tony Romo on this football team back in the day.
Sean just kept coming. Into the draft room. Parcells was sitting up there and we were all, and he said, guys, we've got to take Tony. We've got to take him. Then we didn't take him. Got to take Tony. Got to take Tony.
What hurt me, though, in Jerry's right, was that it was coincidence. He went to the same school I did, and I had just arrived. So no one really had a foundation of who knew what, right? We're all earning our skins. And I hated that he went to the same school I went to because it made it look like, and then... I'll never forget this. We signed him at the very end. And, you know, after the draft, we sit down and have some barbecue and some brisket, and I'm eating, and I really don't – I mean, I've just been there a couple months, and Mr. Jones came over and said, you've already saved me some money now. We got a heck of a quarterback. You remember that?
Oh, he got him down from, like, $20,000 down to $15,000.
He had a lot of teams, and it was us and the Broncos, Mike Shanahan.
Wow. Can you imagine sitting here – with Tony Romo on the line and this guy right here saying, you got to take him. I've watched him. He's going to be special. He's going to be a special player. And you're sitting there, and I look back now at what Tony accomplished and what this guy has accomplished, and it's a moment in time for me.
So that was Jerry with Sean Payton live during the Cowboys pregame show yesterday. So that was awesome. Great job, Christy Scales.
That is very cool. And, you know, I think he's right. I think 20% of him has been left on Bourbon Street.
All right. To have the Cowboy bus just go in there. And then I guess Jane Slater tweeted a little clip of Michael I think he was saying people are on the NFL Network post game. They're like, what are you doing after? Where are you going? He's like, Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
I'll meet you there. I think that's what Mike was. Man, Michael Irvin, he loves life, doesn't he? Like he,
oh, 100%.
He loves being out and about with the people. He loves traveling. He loves just living life. And before the game, someone had tweeted me, said Steve Smith is about to fight Joe Thomas on the pregame. And I didn't see it become viral or anything. So I switched on over and I saw Steve Smith going at Michael Irvin. They were talking about all the penalties, Cowboys' most penalized team, and what happened in the Raider game. And these two started going at it a little bit.
Did you watch the game?
Yes. Yes, I did.
That was not a penalty. That was a penalty in soccer. You can go to Europe right now. Flag. That wasn't refereeing. You cannot grab the corner cannot grab the receiver.
No, you're talking about like on that curl route. I'm talking about on that deep ball, the one that really caused them the game.
The rip.
In the overtime.
You can't pick and one
when
out
they
of
wanted
six.
Him to look back. You can pick one out of six. That one was the one that hurt the most. The other ones did not. We were in overtime. That one in overtime killed the game.
We're inside. Why are you yelling?
I wasn't yelling. I just got to
be honest. Look,
he's just
I'm
getting
Steve,
excited. He
look,
was feeling good about himself.
Listen, I'm Steve Smith, Sr., not Stephen A. Smith. You don't have to see that. Relax.
I don't know why I have such a problem with S-squared people. S-squared. Steve Smith, Stephen A. Smith, same thing, the S-squared.
That square problem.
Man, sometimes I want Mike to put Steve Smith through a table. I want him to just put him up with a pile driver and put him through a table. I asked him when we were at dinner.
Yeah.
I was like, what's up with Steve Smith the time he came at you and everything? And I can't really remember his answer. I wouldn't want to divulge it anyway. But I was like, what's up with Steve Smith coming at you like that? And he was like, yeah, I understand. I understand why you would think that. And then.
I wouldn't mess with Steve.
If you were Mike?
I don't care who you are. Steve.
Oh, I think Mike's got that in him, too.
Oh, Mike definitely has that in him, but not like Steve. Steve's got that in him, and he's got... Steve might be borderline imbalanced, man. Steve's got something in him that isn't human.
Yeah, but I think Mike can... He can get to that level, too, right?
Well, I don't know if to that level.
Okay, what's the biggest that you could talk about you saw Mike snap?
Oh, at me.
When you produced for him.
Oh, at me. Yeah. Like
over?
Oh, he didn't like the way I did an update. I told him to find somebody else to do the update then.
Yep. And what did he like stare first or did he just immediately snap? Yell,
no, he found somebody else to do the update. And I said, all right, deuces. And we didn't talk for like 5 years.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was the end of your working days with it.
Uh-huh. That was it. I was ready to go anyway. I had a night show, Sean. I was working a double.
Oh, you moved on from Michael Irvin to Grego.
I did. I said, I am hitching my star to that Grego wagon.
So how did it, you're not usually a grudge guy. How did it get fixed? Did you try to reach out, solve it?
No.
Interesting. No.
Well, look, I am a proximity friend.
I know.
If I don't see you every day, I don't talk to you. And it has nothing to do with my love or distaste for that person.
Right.
I just, if you're not in front of me, I don't have, like, I just, so I, how, I lose track
how
of
how was it the first communication? Like, just act like it didn't happen?
Yeah, it's just fine. And like brothers.
Okay.
You know, brothers fight and, you know.
And they talk for 5 years. Trust me, I know. 877-881-1053. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. It's a Cowboys Friday. Where are they now? In the NFC. We'll take you through the NFC East schedule. Choppy with the college football schedule. Stars are on fire. And the biggest blowout in NBA history. Headlines on a Cowboys Friday next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.